Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. I'm writing this broadcast on September 11, 2014, the 13th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Today would also have been the 81st birthday of Dr. William Pierce, the founder of the National Alliance. In 1994, Dr. Pierce suggested to us in the pages of National Vanguard that the Jewish holy war against non-Jewish Semites in the Middle East, oftentimes using Americans as cannon fodder, was heating up to the point that American workers ought to stay out of tall buildings like the World Trade Center, a remark which proved quite prescient 7 years later. Earlier today, I spoke with a man who, totally frustrated by America's decades-long involvement in Middle Eastern wars and the terrorist blowback that that entails, and faced with one of the establishment's pious, "We must remember 9/11 messages, blurted out, "We can best remember by wiping out every single one of the damned Muslim vermin from the face of the earth." I responded, saying, "And making you think that is exactly why that act of terror was done. I do agree that non-white Muslim immigration should be stopped and then reversed. They are not compatible with our race or civilization. But the ones who stay in their home countries should be left alone, and the shameful murders of them and invasions of their homelands, all done on behalf of Israel, should be stopped immediately." I also explained briefly that there was Israeli involvement in the 9/11 attacks, which were brought about, or at the very least allowed and encouraged to happen, with the express purpose of starting a new war, with the U.S. on one side and Israel's perceived enemies on the other side. My frustrated friend brushed my explanations aside, saying he didn't give a damn about the Israelis either, and that as far as he was concerned, we should use nuclear weapons to make the entire Middle East into a sheet of glass. I understand his frustration and anger. Family members and friends of his have died in this apparently endless series of wars, the longest in our history, with no end in sight. There are doubtless millions of Americans who feel the same way. But without even a basic understanding of how they have been tricked and manipulated into fighting someone else's holy war, they are powerless to do anything about their abject servitude. Servitude, even unto death. So listen and gain some understanding. The Mossad, Israel's intelligence agency, was shadowing the 9/11 terrorists and likely encouraging and to some extent controlling them, and never warned the American people. Have you heard of the Israeli art student spy ring? Probably not, though it's possibly the largest spy ring ever caught on American soil, some 200 agents in all. The spy ring was busted, and many of its agents who had been gathering information about American military, DEA, and other government sites and buildings were captured. It was later disclosed that fully a third of the captured Israeli spies were living in the same Florida and New Jersey communities as the 9/11 hijackers. And five of them were living on the same street as Mohammed Atta in the months immediately preceding the attacks. It's important to emphasize that this is not some wild-eyed conspiracy theory. This is the kind of behavior that intelligence and secret police agencies engage in normally. It's what they do. A huge percentage of terror arrests by the FBI, for example, involve government agents infiltrating groups of radical Muslims and then funding them encouraging them, and steering them toward illegal acts, often involving weapons provided by the U.S. government itself, which the hapless patsies are often paying the agents for when the handcuffs and the camera shutters click simultaneously. At any given moment, not only the FBI and the CIA and MI5, but also, you may be sure, the Mossad, have dozens or hundreds of partly real, partly phony radical groups they are running. These captured groups are not only under near total surveillance, but also under a significant degree of actual control. They are not only used to provide show trials to prove the agency is fighting terror, but can easily be used as patsies in the commission of violent or other illegal acts which the agency itself dares not commit, but nevertheless wants to happen as a part of some broader plan. On December 21st, investigative reporter Carl Cameron of the Fox News Channel filed a report on the detention of 60 Israeli spies by FBI and other government investigators looking into the events of September 11th, some of whom were suspected of having prior knowledge of the attacks. According to the report, over 140 intelligence operatives for the Jewish state, many posing as Israeli art students and some as street and mall kiosk vendors, had been detained earlier in the investigation, which began prior to September 11th. These 200 Israeli spies were considered to be just the tip of the iceberg of a, quote, very aggressive Israeli intelligence operation against the United States, one of the largest spy rings in American history. According to classified documents seen by Cameron, the art students, using the sale of original paintings at cut-rate prices as bait, penetrated military bases, the Drug Enforcement Administration, or DEA, the FBI, and dozens of government facilities, secret installations, and even the private homes of law enforcement officers, intelligence personnel, and judges. In several cases, it was proved that these supposed art students would be flown direct from Israel at large expense, rent a car upon landing in the U.S., and then drive directly to the home of a U.S. government official, enter the home on the pretext of selling paintings, and then, when the bogus sales pitch was over, be observed leaving the neighborhood without knocking on the door of a single other resident in the neighborhood. In other numerous cases, the Israelis would be observed wandering around or entering classified government buildings, some so secret that they were excised from maps, were in isolated areas, and even without street addresses, buildings which even the locals didn't know were actually secret government facilities. Mr. Cameron quoted a senior official who said, quote, evidence linking these Israelis to 9/11 is classified. I cannot tell you about evidence that has been gathered. It's classified information, close quote. And with reference to the lack of any official public statements on this story, he said, quote, investigators within the DEA, INS, and FBI have all told Fox News that to pursue or even suggest Israeli spying is considered career suicide, close quote. After a complaint from the pro-Israel lobby group AIPAC, the heavily Jewish management at Fox News killed the story, and visitors to the Fox website now get only a "This story is no longer available" message when they try to access it. It's been erased, even from their archives. Luckily, a few courageous reporters at the Florida Sun Sentinel and the French newspaper Le Monde broke the blackout on the story. Since that time, evidence has been accumulating that some in Israel knew in advance that the attacks were going to take place and did nothing to prevent them or warn the American victims. Odigo, an Israeli-American instant messaging firm, confirmed that two Israeli workers received messages warning them of the impending attacks on the World Trade Center 2 hours in advance of the attacks before the planes took off. The company says that the employees told the company of the messages only after the attacks took place, at which time Odigo's response was to communicate with Israeli security services. If the unknown informant was a Muslim, why were none of the hundreds of Muslims working at the World Trade Center warned? If the informant was not a Jew, why were Israeli workers chosen to receive the warning? Some of the arrested Israeli spies were discovered to have been apparently closely following the accused 9/11 hijackers, including Mohammed Atta. More than a third of the Israeli agents were operating in Florida communities where 10 of the 19 hijacking suspects were living and learning to fly. 5 Israeli operatives even lived on the same street as Atta in Hollywood, Florida, the town where Atta and 3 other terror suspects lived for some time prior to the attacks, strengthening the presumption that Israel was shadowing the 9/11 conspirators and knew of their activities and plans. Knowing all this, Israel did nothing to warn Americans of the impending disaster, possibly calculating the tremendous propaganda value of the attacks in stampeding the American cattle to slaughter the Jews' Semitic enemies in the Middle East, starting with the Taliban and escalating into a vaguely defined war on terror, with terror being defined as having or wanting a government free from Jewish supervision. Not long after September 11th, the FBI attitude toward the biggest spy scandal in decades changed abruptly. Suddenly, revelations about Israeli spying were more than just career suicide. They became a threat to the Middle East war plans of the Zionists. Just as suddenly, the suspects were no longer in any danger of being charged with espionage, and we were told they were merely being held for routine visa and immigration irregularities. The sum total of their punishment? They were sent back to Israel. The man directly responsible for that decision? Michael Chertoff. Chertoff has an interesting history. He is most famous as George Bush's Homeland Security Chief, but few know that he is a dual Israeli-U.S. citizen and was once an attorney for Dr. Magdi El-Amir, a Muslim suspect in a nuclear medicine money transfer fraud with direct family connections to Al-Qaeda, and who was also suspected of funding terrorists. And even fewer know that El-Amir, Chertoff's former client, and his brother were also under terror investigation in 2001 by the U.S. Department of Justice, but were allowed to slide while Chertoff was Assistant Attorney General there. Chertoff's job after 9/11 was to cover up and obfuscate as much as possible all evidence of Israeli involvement. It was under his orders that the investigation of the art student spies' connections to the terror attacks was stopped, and their charges were simply downgraded to visa violations, upon which they were simply returned to Israel. Another and even more suspicious Israeli intelligence operation connected to the events of 9/11 involved the Dancing Israelis and a false-front Israeli-owned moving company called Urban Moving Systems. Just a few minutes after the first plane hit the World Trade Center, a New Jersey resident reported that she saw a group of men of Middle Eastern appearance observing the attack from a high vantage point, laughing, dancing joyfully, giving each other high fives, and lighting lighters like fans do at rock concerts. At one point, they were reported to be standing atop their truck, which carried the logo of Urban Moving Systems. After they were captured, it turned out that all of them were Israelis working here illegally, and Urban Moving Systems was an Israeli intelligence front which had also received some $500,000 in U.S. government loans for 2001 and 2001 only. Its owner, Dominic Suter, immediately fled to Israel, and the contents of the dozen hard drives left in his office have been classified by the government. These men were filming and taking pictures of the attack, and pictures removed from their camera by police, one of which shows a traffic helicopter whose timeline was known, proves that they began their vigil within minutes of the first plane's impact, if not before. When they were stopped by police, they immediately assumed the stop had something to do with 9/11 and made statements to the effect that, "We are Israelis. We are not your problem. The Palestinians are your problem." Inside their truck were maps of the New York City metro area with certain buildings highlighted, including vantage points both north and south of the towers, from which both the first and second impacts could be most easily observed and documented. Traces of explosives were detected in the van. Later, a similar van filled with explosives was stopped before it could reach its evident target of the George Washington Bridge, while at the same time, an anonymous telephone call alerted police to the existence of yet another white truck, this one, incredibly, with a painting of an airplane crashing into the Twin Towers on its side. According to reports, it was an innocent moving truck rented to a group of quote-unquote ethnic Middle Easterners. Shortly thereafter, another Urban Moving Systems group was arrested in Tennessee, attempting to obtain false ID there under the then lax state driver's license laws. Once again, under Michael Chertoff's watch, all of these captured Israeli operatives were released to Israel after being charged with simple immigration violations. Ladies and gentlemen, we stand on the brink of universal war. The ancient conflict between the Semites of the Middle East and the partly Semitic Jews was brought to our shores on 9/11/01, in what the evidence suggests was an operation planned to involve the United States in a war against Israel's enemies. The purpose of the operation was to enrage the American people so that we would support such a war. That war has been continuous and increasing since that date. It is not a war against a specific state or nation. It is not a war in which we as a people have any interest at all. And it is not really a war on terror, though it is a war of terror. It is simply an undeclared war to slaughter Israel's enemies, in much the same manner that the Jews gleefully describe the slaughters of their enemies in their Torah. Directed by the Jewish power structure, we crushed Afghanistan and Iraq and installed puppet governments there. We did the same in Libya and are trying to do the same in Syria. We continue to murder countless thousands with our drones in the skies over several non-combatant nations. Because Russia opposes our war plans, the Jewish propaganda now sounds against that nation, possibly presaging an even more deadly conflict. This is their war, not ours. Let the Jewish supremacists fight their own wars and protect their own borders. Let us instead direct our wealth and our energy and the lives of our young men toward protecting our own ramparts and those of European civilization itself, which very much need protecting. Let us also direct our energy toward gaining the understanding and ability to break the bonds of earth and direct our own upward evolution. That should be our cause, not dying so the world's richest tribe can lord it over some sand in the Middle East promised to them by their primitive, imaginary desert god. Redefine citizenship on a racial basis, as the founding fathers did, and exile both sides in this death spiral war from our shores. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance membership organization, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. Please write to us at National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to do right and fear no one.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth.